Hello, you're listening to One Way Single Parent Family Favourites on Resonance 104.4 FM. You remember this show used to be hosted by Billy Jenkins? It hasn't been for a really long time now, but I always used to like mentioning that it had been at one stage. Now it's done in a rota with me, David Quantick, and Pete Sargent. I've never even met Pete Sargent. I don't know what his shows are like. But anyway, this is me, Stuart Lee. I'm here for 2 hours. I've got two guests today. Dan Mayer, who's just written a piece of radio comedy drama, and he's going to tell us about that. And Boothby Graffo in the second half, who's a stand-up comedian who's just made a comedy music album with the jazz guitarist Antonio Fuccioni, which will be the first stand-up comedy flamenco crossover. So we'll be talking about that later. In the meantime, let's start off today with a track from the new album by Guided by Voices, Earthquake Glue. This is called She Goes Off at Night.
Afraid to close. to always seem right. I'll remember a November night when the dawn on your doorway shone white with frost.
And that was Peter Fonda, actually, singing November Nights, which is a Gram Parsons song. And it was written for him by Gram Parsons of the Flying Burrito Brothers and the Byrds for a sort of novelty single release. That was the B-side of a cover of Universal Soldier by Donovan. And the Byrds are playing on that. Now, I actually met Peter Fonda once. I've only met about four famous people in my life. So my Peter Fonda anecdote, I've probably told it on this station before. But, you know... doesn't matter, does it? It's interesting. And anyway, what happened was, I was meeting Peter Fonda, and I was talking to him about that song, and he said, yeah, and you know, I was the only person ever to record November Nights by Gram Parsons. And I went, no, because Gram Parsons did it as well, and that's come out as of now on a special thing of bootleg demos and stuff. And also Sid Griffin from the Long Riders has done it. And he went, no, I was the only person ever to record November Nights by Gram Parsons. And I realised the conversation wasn't really going anywhere at that point. He also shakes hands with you behind his back, Peter Fonda. He doesn't shake hands like face to face like a normal bloke from now would. He shakes hands in a kind of psychedelic 60s kind of way, where you have to, he puts his hand at the small of his back and you have to kind of reach round and get it. Well, maybe he was just embarrassed about shaking hands with me. I don't know. As I say, anyway, we're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, a one-way single parent family favourite. So I'm Stuart Lee. Coming up after us at 2 o'clock is Calling All Pensioners with Harry Howard, the former criminal who is now a pensioners' rights activist. And also, don't forget, next Sunday, it's the London Musicians Collective Festival at the place near Euston Station here in London. Here in London, if you're listening on the internet from Tibet, we'll be a live tie-in with that. And so if I can find the piece of paper, I'll tell you a bit more about who's on it later. Some of these people probably might be. This is from the new little collective put together by Derek Bailey called Limescale, which features Tony Bevan on bass saxophone, Alex Ward on clarinet, and two blokes from Manchester, THF Drenching, who's playing dictaphone, and Sonic Pleasure, who is credited as Bricks, playing some Bricks here. So this is from the opening track of the new album from Limescale. It's called Burger Plus. Thank you. That's just gone down, but that buys us extra time. That was that was about 45 seconds of "Just Like a Bird Without a Feather" by R.L. Burnside, the blues singer. It's just been re-released. Recordings made in 1968. Like a lot of blues songs, you know, you get the idea after about half an hour. Basically, there's a bird, it hasn't got a feather, and he's got some kind of issues with that. So we decided to cut it off early. We felt like the story had been told. We're going to come to our first guest. You know, he deserves more than that, Burnside, really. But, you know, there's a lot to pack into the show today. So we'll be doing edited highlights of a lot of the tracks we'll be playing. Is that queued up? Yeah. Okay, we're going to come to our first guest after this. And in a minute, we're going to explain why. This is Mouse and His Traps.
Sunshiny days, and things seldom work out. They just don't come my way. But I can be happy just to say I've known you, and to see you each morning makes my day seem less blue. For a false-hearted lover and a fair-weather friend took all I own from me, and sometimes you just can't win. If I could live my life over, if I could do it again, I'd never chase women. I try so hard not to sin. But one thing's for certain, I'd stay away from her door, and you'd never find me begging for more. And now that it's finished, my time is fast running out. I know I could never change my life about. What was started is ending. My sight is fast growing dim. But I cannot forget her, and I still think of him. And how a false-hearted lover and a fair-weather friend took all I own from me. And sometimes, sometimes you just can't win. I try so hard, but sometimes, sometimes you just can't win.
Oh, that was Mouse and His Traps from 1965 with, it was called Ronnie Elliott, one of the bloke in Mouse and His Traps, doing an impression of Bob Dylan there, which is what he made a career out of for about 4 years. And that was called Sometimes You Just Can't Win, and is actually from a great free thing given away with Mojo Magazine, Instant Garage Compilation. And the reason we played Mouse and His Traps is because Dan Mayer is with us, the comedy writer, and I said to him, bring in some things that are perhaps relevant to your current work. And he's just written a series for Radio 4 called Trapped. And the part of that word, trapped, appears in the name Mouse and His Traps.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Only people who do cryptic crosswords would understand that connection.
I know, yeah. It's hard, isn't it, to find things with trapped in the title.
Apart from that, the first thing that I thought of was Colonel Abraham's Trapped, which is terrible.
No, don't know that one.
You probably do. Oh, right. It was an 80s pop hit.
Oh, right. No, I don't.
Yeah, you might not.
I was asleep during the 80s.
And the only other thing I think of was Suspicious Minds, because of the first line of it.
Yeah, I'm caught in a
I'm
trap.
I'm caught in a trap.
Yeah.
But then I just decided that the whole conceit was slightly rubbish. And
it's
just called
Trapped,
just
your thing,
that one,
isn't it?
It is called Trapped. The series is called Trapped.
Caught in a trap.
Well, that's why I decided that the conceit was probably a bit of a cul-de-sac.
So if you were planning your future writing work around appearances on radio shows where you asked to choose tracks that were relevant,
yeah,
what kind of title might you give the show?
Love would probably give me a broader range.
It would, you'd be away then. I mean, I can see five things in front of me now that would do for that, just on this limited pile.
But perhaps that wouldn't be I wouldn't be working myself hard enough.
No.
Maybe I could call it Kettle.
Yeah, Kettle.
And then I've really got to, then I've got my work cut out.
It
I can't think of any Kettle
I can't think of any
records.
Kettle, no. I can't think of any Kettle records at all. A couple of people have already phoned in to correct basic factual errors that I've made during just the opening 17 minutes of the programme. So, you know, let's turn this into a kind of Steve Wright in the Afternoon fiasco. If you can think of a song with Kettle in the title, ring up, and I can almost guarantee that there is no chance of it being played, because we have a very limited archive here. So you went Trapped starts on Thursday on Radio 4, and you've written it. What's it about?
Well, I've written it with my brother, Mark, who's a stand-up comedian of many years standing up.
I know him.
And you know him.
Yeah.
And it's six standalone things. It's not a sitcom or an ongoing serial thing. It's six standalone things. And the thing that links them is they're all stories about people who you might be able to anticipate what I'm going to say next.
Living
are
Kessels.
Trapped.
are
trapped in various situations, and sometimes those are physical situations, sometimes they're emotional things.
Actually, all sitcoms are like that when you think about it, aren't they? That's
well, it's instant jeopardy, really, yeah. And obviously, threat is funny, jeopardy is funny, and people trapped in situations
can be funny. With Steptoe and Son, you kind of think, well, like, you know, they're trapped together in that relationship in the house. With Friends, I always think, why don't they just leave? Why don't they just go and live somewhere else, those people? There's the basic conceit.
Is a basic conceit that you've got to justify people staying in positions. Yeah. There are always people unhappy in their jobs in sitcoms.
Is brilliant for that. They're literally imprisoned.
They are literally imprisoned. There's no way. Although they do try and dig their way out, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah. And the film, they get on a bus, don't they? It's not very good, the film, though, is it?
No.
No. So what are the situations where people are literally or metaphorically trapped?
There's a whole gamut of trappedness. There's one with some people trapped on a ski lift. That's also a very physical one where it all takes place sort of on the ski lift. There's one about a boy in a well, which is, I suppose, well, I will say this before anybody else says it, it's probably ripped off from Billy Wilder's film Ace in the Hole, because it's not about the boy in the well so much as the media circus that builds up around him.
Right.
I sort of wanted to write something about 24-hour rolling news coverage because it's really bad.
Yeah.
Most TV is obviously designed to be watched as long as possible. Broadcasters try and make you keep watching.
Mm.
Whereas if you watch something like Sky News or BBC News 24, I think it's kind of the opposite. It's not designed to be watched for any more than 15 minutes in any one go.
Yeah, although I was in the States recently, and the way that they keep you watching Fox News is just by lying, basically, and making the news
making up bigger
more
and better
interesting
lies.
Than it is by pinning the blame for various events on people who have nothing to do with them, and then getting experts in to wildly exaggerate about what could possibly happen in the event of various disasters.
That's, speculation really is one of the foundation stones of rolling news,
like,
I think, because there's nothing else to talk about.
It's like kind of one of those novels where it's, you know, a parallel reality of what
yes.
could happen on Nodder.
What would happen if a dinosaur egg was discovered in Scotland?
Well, that's what Fox News is like. And they have the audacity...
Hang on, we were talking about Peter Mandelson. What are you asking me that for?
Have you ever been on a ski lift?
I have.
Yeah.
In my much younger school
But it didn't get
years.
Stuck anywhere.
It didn't get stuck, no. So that's not based on any kind of real incident.
I was on a ski lift at a comedy festival in Banff in the Rocky Mountains, and I was going up it, and there was just me and a Japanese bloke in the ski lift. He didn't speak English, I didn't speak Japanese, and we were looking. Suddenly, he was tapped me on the shoulder and looked out of the pointed down into the kind of woods below, and a man had been walking quite quickly down the mountain mm-hmm. and had fallen over. And had broken into a kind of run stroke fall, where he was just rolling through all these tree stumps and looked in genuine pain and was kind of screaming. I thought, that guy's going to break his leg. And the Japanese bloke was really, really laughing at it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting kind of cultural.
That's
difference.
Why
it seemed like
so few comedies translate.
I know. Anyway.
I think I would have, might have been on the side of the Japanese man. Had I been on that list with you.
I wasn't
I think you might have been outvoted.
Have you ever been trapped anywhere?
I can't think of a... Emotionally, yes.
Right.
Physically, I can't think.
Do you want
of
to that. Talk about the emotional trapping?
I as soon as I said the words emotionally, yes, I regretted it.
Okay, we won't go into that. I got locked in a church once.
Really?
Yeah, when I was a choir boy. That was frightening. What are the other four situations of trappedness?
The other situations of trappedness, there's one of the stories is about a bigamist. Or should be speaking of a polygamist, because he's got three wives. And he decides that the only way out of the situation is to fake his own death.
Right. We've all got to that point at some
I think, yes.
But you can't, you've got a bit of work that's due in. I could
it's, always, it's an
night,
option.
Or fake my own death.
And then, I can't think what the others are about. There's one about a ghost, a couple who buy a cottage and it's haunted, but the ghost that's haunting it has been haunting it for so long, he can't remember why he's haunting the cottage.
Right.
So it's not the most
no, that's,
sort of
actually, that's,
psychological.
That's a really good idea. That it's sort of,
that's quite a silly one.
Yeah, but it's, you know, when you get in those job situations and you can't remember how you ever got there. You know, Lucy Porter, the comedian.
Yes, I do.
She was in the other week. She lived in a partially haunted house.
Really?
Yeah, she was telling us about it. There's a kind of I don't want people to think that basically these shows aren't thrown together. You know, over at least once a month, when I come on, there are recurrent
these
themes.
Are, you've planned everything at least 18 months
yes,
in advance
of haunting. And what's the sixth one? Can you remember?
The sixth one is about an art class teacher who gets into an unfortunate situation with one of his students and a model. And that's more, again, an emotional sort of one.
It's good.
So there's enough variety. It's quite nice to have done six different, completely different things, obviously.
Well, what's the linking factor apart from this contrived notion?
Well, that's exactly what it is. Well, actually, no, the sixth one, because that's five of them. The sixth one is about stand-up comedians.
Oh, right.
And that was the first one that Mark and I wrote.
Yeah.
And it was sort of on the basis of that the rest of the series was commissioned. But we didn't know what the rest of the series would be, and Mark sort of had the idea of writing a sitcom based on the first one. But I really didn't like the idea of writing a whole sitcom about stand-up comedians, which
yeah.
I thought would be of no interest to anyone. So instead of that, we had to arbitrarily extrapolate a theme from the one that we'd written and then sort of make that an umbrella for the other five that we hadn't yet written.
You're probably right. I've just worked on a short film about stand-up comedians, and it's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I suspect that
there are things. I mean, the story is about stand-ups. This is now trying to excuse it, so you know people will actually listen to it. It is. I mean, I think the themes that are in it are reflected in. It's a kind of office tension situation, I suppose, where people are thrown together in that kind of situation where you get that greenhouse effect in an office, where
yeah.
tiny little things that irritate you about someone in an office, which shouldn't, go completely mad and out of control. So I suppose it sort of reflects that. I think there are things in it which people would recognise. It's not just in jokes about. White dog poo or
yeah.
anything like that.
Although those are very good.
Those are always very.
Let's be like a proper radio station. Have another tune now. This I asked Mark. What was his favourite? I asked Dan, not Mark. Your brother's not here. I asked Dan what his favourite song of all time was, and he could bring it in. And it's this. What is it?
It's a song by the Monkees from the soundtrack of the film Head.
Which I walked out of at the cinema.
Really?
Yeah, couldn't understand what's going on.
I think it's the sort of thing you can, if you watch it at home, you can go make a cup of tea off. Okay. It's probably all right, but I think I agree with you.
And what's it called?
It's, the full title is Long Title, colon, Do I Have to Do This All Over Again?
Here we go.
Show. This. This.
This is a public service announcement on behalf of the London Musicians Collective and Resonance FM. The 12th annual LMC Festival has been scheduled to take place on the 5th to the 7th of September at the Place Theatre, Euston. The event will be a creative explosion, not literally of course, featuring Keith Rowe and Otomo Yoshihide and a whole menagerie of creative artists. The event is modestly priced at £10 per day, concessions £7.50, with entry for the whole weekend starting at £20. Tickets are available from the Place box office. Telephone 020 7387 0031 for further details. We now return you to the scheduled broadcast.
Still in.
Melbourne on from their new album, which is called Cellscape, and they're playing. They're from Japan, obviously, and they're playing on the 8th of November at I think whatever the old one at the top of Charing Cross Road's called now. That used to be called something else. Mean Fiddler, isn't it? I don't know. Anyway, you should go and see that because they're really good. There's some people. This is a great thing about Resonance as live. Someone just came in downstairs, so you might have heard a few people. Yeah, they are having a bit of a talk. That might be picking up. I don't know. It's good. It's good. And then, and between that and whatever was before, was a jingle telling you about the LMC festival next weekend. Now, the way the bloke was speaking, when he was saying place, it sounded a bit like palace. It was at the palace. You might be thinking, oh, the LMC, London Musicians Collective, has gone up in the world. They're going to a royal residence. That's not the case. It's at the Place Theatre. And now I'm doing it. Now I'm very conscious that when I say place, it sounds like palace. And so we'd need to move on. But it's not at the palace, it's at the place. So, Dan Mayer's with us, who's written this thing about being trapped. And that was the Monkees thing you just played.
The Monkees.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what's the... What apart from the notion of being trapped, have you given the whole thing a feeling of being linked together?
On the contrary, I quite like the idea that they sound as disparate as possible.
Right.
I almost wanted them to sound like they're all written by different people.
Right.
So this sort of... textural thing differences, I suppose. Some of them are more straight narrative, and some of them have got a bit more tricksy, and I've got little surreal scenes in and flashbacks and things like that. But ultimately, that will have failed because we wrote them all, so they won't actually sound like they're all written by different people. Yeah. But that was sort of half the idea.
View this encounter here today as a chance to get up to speed for doing other interviews for more widely listened to stations, and don't go, but ultimately I have failed.
Maybe I should modify that.
I admire that.
No, it hasn't failed as a series, I don't think, but my unnecessary conceit of making them all sound like they were written by different people may have
failed. Right. Well, it's hard to do that when they're written.
That productive fertile comedy seam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's got that kind of Leeds vibe about him. The way they do stuff up there.
Yes, that no nonsense way.
Yeah.
We've got a few Yorkshire people because the story about the boy in a well is set in Yorkshire. So we've got people
They dress wells there, don't they? Well dressings, or is that Derbyshire?
I don't know.
You didn't research wells.
Not kind of sufficiently thoroughly.
No.
No.
Well, you could have worked that in.
Maybe. Maybe I can do Return to the Well in Series 2, in which the well is dressed.
What's this next thing we're going to hear that you've brought in?
It's a record from sometime in the mid-1980s by a group called Freight Train, which may be of interest to fans of Julian Cope, because it's his brother's band, and features his Julian Cope's guitarist, Donald Ross Skinner, who was originally called Donald Skinner, but who he renamed in honour of Glenn Ross Campbell of the group The Misunderstood.
Wow.
And this was, I think...
I didn't know that, ever.
Yes, apparently he's actually just called Donald Skinner.
All right.
But then shortly before, I think shortly before Julian Cope stole Donald, brackets Ross, brackets Skinner, for his own group, he made this record with Julian's brother Joss and their group Freight Train.
What's
and
it called?
It's very cleverly titled, because if you take the word manslaughter and you split it into two, you get the title of this record, which is Man's Laughter.
Heart of my dart, arrow of my marrow, butter of my abutter, bode of my abode, cope of my scope, curry of my scurry, den of my Eden, dew of my ado, ember of my member, eel of my feel, fort of my effort, flexibility of my inflexibility, go of my ego, gain of my again, hence of my whence, him of my whim, inky of my dinky, inter of my hinta. Jog of my ajog, Johnny O of my O Johnny O. Kipper of my skipper, kin of my skin. Liquor of my flicker, lapstick of my slapstick. Mission of my emission, motion of my emotion. Nip of my snip, now of my enow. Oiler of my toiler, Orpheus of my Morpheus. Port of my sport, patter of my spatter. Quash of my squash, quiescence of my acquiescence, raving of my craving, ream of my cream, scent of my ascent, swan of my aswan, tiff of my stiff, top motion of my stop motion, unction of my function, urging of my purging, vent of my event, vocative of my evocative, Well of my swell, wallowtail of my swallowtail, X factor of my X factor, X of my axe, ye of my eye, Y of my. Zip zap zoff of my O zip O zap O zoff, Zim zam zoom of my O zim O zam O zoom.
John Revelator, tell me who's that riding? John Revelator, tell me who's that riding? John Revelator wrote the book of the seven seals. Who's that riding? John Revelator, tell me who's that riding? John Revelator, well, who's that riding? John Revelator wrote the book of the seven seals. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name. And he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seventh seal. You know Christ had 12 apostles, and 3 he led away. Say, watch with me 1 hour till I go yon and pray. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seas. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas. Christ came on the Easter morning. Mary and Martha was down to see. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Tell me who's riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seventh seal. Who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seventh seal.
That was Sun House and John the Revelator. And before that was Husker Du from their live album, Landspeed Record, which is great. and that was the first track on it, All Tensed Up. And before that was the Fluxus artist Emmett Williams. That was a piece from 1968 called Duet. About 11 years ago, before I ever knew who Emmett Williams was, I was walking along the canal leading to the docks in Cardiff, and I saw a big picture of an old man that was about 9 feet high, 9 feet square, being floated out into the middle of the docks on a kind of pontoon. And I said to the assembled people, "Who is that?" And they said, "It's Emmett Williams," as if I was some kind of idiot for not knowing. And then I found out that that weekend there was a kind of lot of secret Fluxus Dadaist actions were happening in Cardiff, where they were being carried out by some visiting Polish people who were living in a house and eating borscht out of a big pot.
It's kind of an epicentre of Dada.
Weirdly, it is an epicentre of Dada.
Really?
Did you know that?
I didn't know.
No, well, Cardiff, there's loads of people there at the art school that had connections back to all that lot, and you wouldn't know it from Cardiff. You'd tend to think that it's... what do you think of it? It's low on the list of priorities that it's an epicentre of Dada.
Yeah.
Although I understand they are changing that as you drive into Cardiff now. It will say,
welcome to Cardiff, epicentre of Dada.
Yeah, and then I think it'll bring in a new kind of tourist epicentre of Dada.
Please drive surreally
through the town. And before that was Dan Mayer's second to last choice, which was The Freight Train featuring... I'm really glad I know that about Donald Ross Skinner's name not being real. That's a really great piece of rock trivia. That's of no interest. When does Trap start on the radio anyway?
It starts on Thursday night at 11 p.m, which is late enough for us to say rude words in it and things like that.
Right.
Not that we do very much of that. But that's when it starts, and it's on every Thursday for 6 weeks.
Right, radio. That's Radio 4, isn't it?
The BBC Radio 4.
Yeah, I know. Imagine what we could do here if we had their resources. There wouldn't be, like, me going down to answer the door while things are playing. We're not bitter.
Or a phone ringing in the background.
No, or a phone ringing. Is it ringing now?
Yeah,
was it this one here? Oh, I'll pick it up. Hello? Oh, it's right, I'll get... Oh, the answer phone's gone off. Sorry. Hello? Yeah. Actually,
can you
ring back and leave that on the answer phone? Because I don't know about that. So I'm just going to hang up and I'll just let the answer phone take it. Okay, all right, cheers. Bye. God.
Well done.
See, that was an exciting piece of radio.
Experimental radio.
Imagine if that had worked. Someone said, she just rang up and she said, "I'd like to know how to get a piece of sound art to you for broadcast." And I went, "That was a piece of sound art, love."
Yeah.
Don't you get it?
I thought you'd misunderstood the concept of the radio phoning, but in fact, you've taken it to another level.
I know, yeah, it's good, isn't it? Anyway, I'm going to say goodbye to you now, Dan Mayer, because the other man will be arriving soon. What's the last thing you wanted to hear from that you brought in?
I forgot. Oh, yes, it's a bit of demented garage music.
Yeah.
Which is also on the Mojo compilation that we talked about earlier. It's a version of Shortening Bread by the Ready Men, and it always makes me smile.
Here it is. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Pull on the skillet. Pull on the lid. Mammy's gonna make it some time. Well, Mammy, can you baby love the time in shot? Baby, love the child in shot. Name is
living in my darling bed.
Oh, hello, it's the LMC Festival coming up the 5th, 6th and 7th of September 2003. It's the 12th annual festival, you know. They're going to throw away the script this year and they've invited some legendary improvising guitarist people called Keith Rowe and this other extraordinary Japanese turntablist person whose name is Otomo Yoshihide, and they are so good. They've got so many resources and they're going to, and actually going to get, and so what they're going to do, and you know, they're going to get this sort of human, artistic and technical stuff all over the place on radio, on Resonance FM 104.4. It's going to be such a unique event across the entire weekend. It's going to be a cast of so many people coming all over the place with instruments and technology, and I don't know what it'll be like, but it'll be a fantastic thing. There'll be noises and explosions and big dramatic things happening that you don't want to miss it. You should get there, because every concert starts at 7 p.m. and if you want to phone up and find out more about it, you can call 020-738-7031. It's at the place in Duke's Place opposite Euston Station Place, you know. Get there.
And before that, the Ready Men and Mum's Little Baby Likes Shortening Bread. And and thanks to Dan Mayer for coming in. Booby Graff will be with us in a bit, talking about his flamenco jazz comedy crossover. Now, we've got about 15 minutes, and there's something I've always wanted to try and do on the show, but I never have. There's this great song written by the Bristol folk singer Cyril Tawney called Sally Free and Easy. I've got the album here that it appears on, In Port, which is from the early 70s. Typically of folk albums of the year, it's got a picture of an overweight man smoking a pipe on the front. There's nothing attractive about it. You wouldn't buy it. Other than the fact that this song's found its way all down through the years. Loads of different people have had a crack at it. And I'm hoping we're going to mix a few together over a quarter of an hour or so, and we can get from Cyril Tawney with his pipe to Flying Saucer Attack and their version of Sally Free and Easy over about 15 minutes. So anyway, let's start with this. Cyril Tawney and Sally Free and Easy.
We'll be right back.
And that's Flying Saucer Attack from a couple of years ago, I don't know when. 96, and doing Cyril Tawney's Sally Free and Easy, and before that we heard Magic Hour from Boston doing it. And before that, slightly annoying jazz rock version by Pentangle. And before that, the definitive version, I reckon, by The Trees, Notting Hill Gate, 1970. And Cyril Tawney himself, the fat Bristol man there, opening the unnecessary Sally Free and Easy montage. In a moment, we'll be joined by our second guest for today, Boothie Graffo. This is his first choice of tracks that he wanted to play. It's Robin Hitchcock, and it's called Mexican God.
Yeah. We off. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ooh, wop, shoo, wa-da-dop. Ooh, wop, shoo, wa-da-dop. Chip, chip, chipper, up in the crow's nest. Upside down face, but it still soar aloft. Flaking off, breaking off, crumbled and cracking. Time will destroy you like a Mexican god. Dreaming your eyes away, close to the future. Pray for amnesia to finish you off. This is the evil I wished on so many. Time will destroy you like a Mexican god. Moon in a cup, crushed garlic and babies. Sailors all stagnant and bloating and rough. The horror of you floats so close by my window. At least when I die, your memory will too. Wap shoo wada da, ooh. Wap shoo wada da. Cruel, magnificent, roasting your people. I am secure at the end of your rod. Cut out my heart and it flies to the ceiling. Time will destroy you like a Mexican god. Time will destroy you like a Mexican god. Time will destroy you.
That's Robin Hitchcock, formerly of Robin Hitchcock and the Egyptians and the Soft Boys, from that album called Jewels for Sophia, and that was called Mexican God. And you're listening to Stuart Lee, that's me, on One Way Single Parent Family Favourites on Resonance 104.4 FM if you're inside the congestion charge zone, or else you can get it on the internet. And it seemed loads of people have been listening today and phoning in and asking about things. You know, it's very exciting. It's quite intimidating, the notion of actually being listened to. So keep it coming. And like I said, that lady phoned up wanting to know where to leave some sound art, and I hope she's rung back and left it on the answer phone, because I don't even know why I took the call. I was thinking I'd be like Richard Madeley on Richard and Judy when he kind of makes news happen by going, "Wait, you know what? We're going to get the man from British Airways on the phone right now. Can we do that? Come on!" But instead, nothing happened. Anyway, Boothie Graffo is here. Hello. Hello, you all right?
What did the woman say? What was the sound
said,
art?
Well, she rang up and she said, well, they broadcast a lot of, you know, art sound projects on here, and she rang up during this show, and I stupidly took the call on air, but it's not plugged into the system or anything, and I thought I'd be able to. I thought, hey, let's make something happen, something exciting.
Something real.
But she just went, do you know where I would leave a demo tape of my work? And I went, no, sorry. Can you ring back and leave it on the answer phone? And they went, well, I've heard that moment's up for Sony Gold now. of really, like, because it's very real. Yeah. You can't fake that.
So she didn't actually get to say anything or do any sound art?
No, because the phone wasn't, it doesn't go through the desk anyway.
All right, so it's just a personal phone call for you. Which you chose to share.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm hoping you'll be better than that.
Oh, God.
So your Booby Graffo is a top stand-up comedian, and he does musical things, and now he's got a record out, haven't you?
I have, yes.
He has. But it's got...
We have.
Talk about you in the third person. Yeah. But it's not just you, is it?
No, funny record. It's Antonio Forcione, the famous Italian virtuoso guitarist.
Yeah.
Which is why it's called... Because he wouldn't let me put his face on the front cover.
Wouldn't he?
No.
Why not?
He called his lawyers.
Really?
Yeah.
To stop you?
Yeah, to stop me putting his face or his name on the front cover. So I call the album What Italian.
But he's very prominent on it and very good.
Yeah, well, he obviously, yeah.
Well, why didn't he... What, was he ashamed?
I don't know. When I told him I was going to put his face on the album, it says on the album his face took on such a look of horror...
Right.
..that some people might have thought it indeed was horror rather than just gratitude.
Because for sort of 10 years I've known him in my ignorance as... being the man that came on and did funny stuff with you. And
yeah.
Turns out he's like hugely respected jazz flamenco guitarist.
Yeah, he's got 15 albums out.
Yeah.
He's the number one selling artist on the Name record label.
Is he?
I walked through particularly Piccadilly Circus once. Is that where Tower Records is?
Yeah.
There was just an enormous picture of him on the wall.
And you thought he was just a bloke.
I thought he'd done it himself.
Because you had another man for a bit, didn't you? I saw you playing with another...
Oh, with Giorgio.
Yeah,
Giorgio works with Antonio. It's one of the gigs Antonio couldn't do.
Right.
So Giorgio depth for him.
But he's very good, isn't he? I mean, he's good at not... He doesn't... he seems to have a good comic sense, despite
Giorgio.
Being... Antonio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He is away. That was when I first met him, he was doing comedy. It was at a comedy gig. And I asked him why he was doing it. He was doing it to... he wanted to communicate... on a different level with a music audience.
Right.
He often gets told off in reviews. They tell them off in music reviews if they do showmanship.
I know.
Of any variety.
Well, actually, Billy Jenkins, whose show this used to be before he got fed up of it and we inherited it, I always felt one of the things he had was that he's a fantastically adept jazz and blues guitarist, but I think his gigs were, like, so much fun that serious music critics would kind of go, what's going on? I'm enjoying myself on a purely primal level.
I read some of Antonio's reviews this year in Edinburgh, and they were all like top flight 5-star reviews, as obviously he deserved. But in them, one of them it said, this incredible music, blah, 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 and then this bit, yes, and then there was the showmanship.
Mm.
But it's okay, he got away with it, as though it's somehow entertaining other than actually just playing the music.
Yeah.
Or actually looking like you're enjoying it, that's wrong.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. It's a difficult area, isn't it? Because I think when you get to sort of when you get to kind of jazz or free improvisation or complicated stuff, there's an element of the audience that wants to feel like it was difficult for the performer, and then they were therefore edified by enjoying it.
Yeah.
And if Antonio Forcione is having too much fun, then they might as well be
cheated.
Yeah, the clown show.
They want to stand over them with a ruler and wrap his knuckles every time he plays a
conversely
corner,
for
like.
You. Do you ever get people going, Boothby's comedy is marvellous, but what is he doing writing this interesting music?
Yeah, I get one or the other. Not the interesting music. Right. I either get the comedy is fine, but what's he doing singing the songs? Or one this year which said, absolutely brilliant, and then he started telling jokes.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They didn't like the jokes.
So what do you think that the do you think that having done this album, which is all not at all spoken word and all songs, will help to consolidate some impression of you being allowed to do whatever you want?
Well, I'm just rather hoping it'll make me £6 a copy, to be honest.
£6 actually, before we play the first track on it, the one I wanted to play,
this
Boothby actually said was his least favourite on it, but I really liked it. So this is, if you like this, Boothby Graffo, and it's called What Italian, and you can get it from www.eva-uk.com or FOP Records are supposed to be selling it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're supposed to be. I took them a bottle of tequila into Edinburgh to say thank you for selling my record, and they said, oh, and they got all nice and smiley, and I went in there, and then they never put it in.
Well, you're lucky, because I went into FOP Records earlier this summer, and there were hundreds of copies of my novel at £2.50 each. All piled up.
The perfect four.
Yeah.
That's a great novel.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, there were a lot of, you know, it was William Burroughs is down to £2.50 as well.
Oh, well,
you know,
there you go.
I thought,
that's because they're all drunk on tequila, all the staff.
And that's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Anyway, let's hear this. This is from Boothby's album with Antonio Forcione, who's only pictured on the inner sleeve, and it's called Neighbourhood Watch.
I watched you sleep last night. You look so warm and safe. I went to touch your hair but had to stop myself. If you woke up you'd know that I was in your house. I wish you were my love, not just the bloke next door. I caught a mouse today. His neck snapped in the trap. And though his back was broken, his nose was twitching still. I held him to my face to hear his final words. He looked at me and said, I did it for the cheese.
That's Boovy Graffo with Antonio Fortioni, and that's called Neighbourhood Watch. Why have you given all the songs titles that aren't helpful in remembering what the content is?
Because a lot of them, the title of the song which people give them, some people shout out and say, play that, play, you know, well, Umbrella Head Boy is a classic. People say, play Umbrella Head Boy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the title is actually the punchline.
Right.
So it's a bit like shouting out, do the one about the dog smelling horrible. Righto. So I've given them titles that don't relate necessarily to that punchline.
To their content or mood.
Yeah, indeed, or anything to do with them at all. I just could just give them names, can I? Steve, Dave,
Eric. He's all over that like a rash, Fortioni, isn't he?
You should hear Umbrella Head Boy. I mean, what Italian I've called it. He goes mental.
We'll play that then.
Very funny. Yeah.
We want to hear you actually play live as well without. What I want to do is play about three off the album so people can go, this guy's great. Yeah. And then we'll get you to do one live in the studio. Okay. You'll be able to hear across the listening. Oh.
Oh, changed our mind. It's that Ruth Maddock moment.
www.eva/uk.com.
/the UK.
The comedy song is notoriously, it's probably the worst form of comedy as a rule, isn't it?
Yeah, well, William Cook was very nice about this album, actually, you know, William? He said to call it a comedy album doesn't really do it justice, which I thought was quite nice of him, really. Because they're not really comedy songs.
No.
They've just got jokes in them.
They've got, well, what they've got in them, let's get analytical about it, is the same sense of slightly surreal English whimsy that you find in Robin Hitchcock or Sid Barrett or something. Would you think that's fair?
That's very polite and very, very complimentary, yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah. You can attribute that to this radio station, if you like.
Okay, I will. Resonance FM. The same slight English whimsy. Although Robin Hitchcock, I find, has multi-layered depths, too.
He's got about four layers, hasn't he?
At least. He usually starts off at the sea, in the sea, on a boat, mm-hmm. and then he goes several metres below the surface.
He's a dark poet.
Yeah.
He can be.
Yeah, very, yeah. I mean, nobody else could actually sing beautifully, Would You Suck My Stump?
No.
And make it sound, and not make you go, what?
No.
Make you go, oh, what do you mean?
Which song is that in?
Do you know, I don't know, I heard him play it live once, right. And it just got that bit, would you suck my stump?
When you get your guitar out, though, I think, hooray, but normally when comedy goes to music, I just think, like, you know, all those kind of 80s trios of people that sang amusing songs or whatever, you just are frightened by it all.
Well, like Skint Video, there's only two of them. Steve Grimmon amounted to the other one as well.
That. I wasn't saying that. I don't like to. But, you know,
Jane and Freddie.
Rod, Jane and Freddie, they were like children's entertainers. What were they thinking of?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to play one of the good comedy songs now from Monty Python Live at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. This is Neil Innes, an idiot song.
Will you please give a very big welcome to someone who's come all the way here tonight for our talent spotting time,
John Kissinger, brother of the famous Ronnie Kissinger.
And now, a song for the sensitive.
To be an idiot, as harmless as a cloud, too small to hide the sun, almost poking fun at the warm but insecure, untidy crowd. How sweet to be an idiot and dip my brain in joy, children laughing at my back with no fear of attack, as much retaliation as a toy. How sweet to be an idiot, how sweet. Still love you, ooh, how sweet to be an idiot, how sweet, how sweet.
That's Neil Innes from Monty Python Live at Drury Lane, and that's Idiot Song. Let's all eulogise Neil Innes for a bit.
Praise the Innes, yeah. You actually said it's a Monty Python song. That wasn't very fair. It's a Neil Innes.
No, I know, it's song, a Neil Innes song in there.
I saw him in Australia just perform solo and sing a lot of his songs and talk about Viv Stanchel and Bonzos and the Beatles, the Ruttle stuff. Just and how when he was with the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, I shouldn't do this. It's his act, really.
Go on.
But he
it's never worried you before.
Hey, come on, Princess Diana, 1 in 5. That he was walking. He was in this same studio, Abbey Road Studios, where the Beatles were, and he was there with the Bonzos going butting, carum butting, diddle. And he plays it on the piano, and he said, "I walked past this studio, and I heard this," and he just plays this perfect piece of like classic Beatles piano. And your whole mood just changes. It's a fantastic piece of music. And he stops, and then I went back to the studio and started going, very funny man.
I was sitting around a table with him in the courtyard of the Pleasance Theatre in Edinburgh last summer with Innes and John Dowie, who's another...
Loony.
And and a man came up to our table and gave us a leaflet for his Neil Innes Bonzo Dog Doodah Band tribute show.
To Neil Innes?
Yeah, and he didn't recognise him. And I went, "That's Neil Innes." So I went to the bloke, "That's Neil Innes from the Bonzo." And he went, "Oh," and he was really embarrassed by it. And plus, Neil Innes in Edinburgh and a Bonzo Dog Doodah Band tribute band are going to get about the same amount of people in a show anyway. I thought it was really weird that, like, there's a man here who's already on the fringe, and you're doing like a, you're thinking there's some, you know, weird.
But I'm going to do a Stuart Lee tribute.
Yeah, well, you know, Richard Herring's out doing one now.
Is it?
Ah!
Milk.
Yeah, funny people like that, aren't they? Because I mean, that is what the good thing about him is. And what works on your album as well is there is a musicianly sense to it rather than it just being. I mean, that song was good enough for Oasis to rip off, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did the rounds, didn't they?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard "Lost Weekend" by what's his name?
Lloyd Cole,
yeah. Last weekend, hotel in Amsterdam. She's electric.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's not only that, but they use the same instruments. Have you heard that track?
Yeah.
They use the same instruments too. They're like a sort of banjo-y feel to it.
There's even something on from the Hindu Times, which is a rip-off of a Stereophonics record, apparently. Not that I've heard the Stereophonics one, but that's really...
That's weird.
Then you know you're scraping the barrel, I think.
When I just stop ripping off people that are basically ripping off them. It'll eat itself.
They will, yeah.
That was Dan Mayer, though. Remember, he was in earlier. He didn't come
out. He stayed.
Now he's...
I've got no place else to go.
All right, let's hear another one of Hoopy's recorded songs before we hear him... actually, this is on the What Italian. This is the title track of What Italian. It's called What Italian.
2, 3, 4.
Take him out when it's raining. She won't take him out when the sun's in the sky. She'll only take him out when it's raining. Poor umbrella head boy. He lives beside the back door in a bucket. He eats a lot of soup. He lives beside the back door in a bucket. Poor umbrella head boy. Let him discuss his feelings when he's underneath the ceiling. They won't let him open up inside the house, 'cause that's bad luck. She never takes him out when it's windy. She did do it once, but she turned him inside out. She never takes him out when it's windy. Poor umbrella head boy. His father always leaves him down the station. His mother always leaves him down the shops or the pub. His sister left him in imagination. Nightclub, Paris Road, Stoke.
Like the Alice Cooper group. Do you wanna touch me?
big baby. Seen a bunch of big, big things. Some are bigger than others. When one might get up and go out of the room, he gets replaced by another. Now some of these are monsters, the kind that live in the lakes. And other kinds are like metal men, and other kinds are big snakes, but they don't look like nothing. They don't look like nothing at all. They don't look like nothing. When you put them up against Caroline Wheeler's birthday presents. That's Caroline Wheeler's birthday presents. Did you get that, Joe? Was made entirely from the skins of dead Jim Morrison's. That's why it smelled so bad. Caroline Wheeler checked into the lobby of the Bruce Scrub at our leisure center. She's looking for a room and a place where she could sit down and get herself back in order. Sheesh, thought Caroline. What the hell was that? So she goes for the elevator. She thinks, well, that'll be pretty straightforward. Straight up. You know what she finds? The elevator breaks down with Caroline and the fish in it.
Fish?
Do you know what happens if you leave a fish too long in an elevator? You don't? Well, here's a clue. Fish is biodegradable.
That means it rots.
Well, there's some big, big things, and they travel in big, big cars. Cars like a Mercedes with a big tow bar. But there ain't no vehicle big enough. They just ain't built a vehicle big enough yet to hold the thing that men call Caroline Wheeler's birthday present.
Caroline Wheeler's birthday present.
That's Caroline Wheeler's birthday present.
Heck, here come the hell driver.
That's the Jazz Butcher from the, I think it was about 1983 album, Scandal in Bohemia, Caroline Wheeler's birthday present. He was from Northampton, wasn't he? Yes. And
I
so
think,
were
I,
you.
I think he, no. I'm from Hull, but I...
But you knew, didn't you know Caroline Wheeler?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I went to school with someone who actually, then she was from that area, Northampton area, went out with her, and then we went to a Jazz Butcher gig. She gave me this album, and because I think he'd given it to her
right.
in consequence. And I spent the whole of the gig shouting, "Dear Caroline Wheeler's birthday present."
Right, and she was in
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, until he did.
Did he? Was she a popular woman or disliked? What's the point when he says Caroline Wheeler's birthday present was made entirely from the skins of dead Jim Morrison's? What is
scattered
he
scattered over Dorne's highway bleeding?
It's
I
really
suppose.
Great. That. I haven't listened to that album for 20 years, and
I've
forgotten all those
on
bits
on
in it.
And, some brilliant tracks on it.
Because I saw them supporting REM when I was about 15.
That would be, wasn't Robin Hitchcock on the same gig?
No, he wasn't, no. He was at Warwick University. And, hey, but that's another story. But, yeah, so, so you met Caroline Wheeler.
Yeah.
Before, was that when you were a redcoat at Butlin's?
No, it predates that, I think. Yeah, right. I think she was very popular, very tall, willowy-looking woman.
It'd be nice to be commemorated in song.
Yes.
but not that one.
I don't know. Hitler has only got... No, probably not.
Right, you're going to play something live now without your...
Yeah, without my talented friend.
What's it going to be?
It hasn't got a title yet. I only wrote this last night. So.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. This
probably the first and last time it'll ever be played.
A Resonance 104.4 FM is Boothy Graffo with an untitled piece.
Sound art. Thinking when you heard that he had gone. Can you remember what you were going to say before you heard he'd shuffled on? Be careful what you write, 'cause someday it just might turn up and prove you right all along. But that will do no good if you're dead in the woods. If you're dead in the woods, we're all dead in the woods. Is there anybody out there who doesn't believe that David Kelly was murdered? If there is, you'd better stand up now, we're running out of chairs.
Make the piper play the corny lass of Biker Hill. Biker Hill and Walkinshaw, a corny lass forevermore. Biker Hill and Walkinshaw, a corny lass forevermore. The Colcott Perry gets 2 shillings, the deputy gets half a crown, and the overman gets 5 and 6 pence, that's just for riding up and down. Biker Hill and Walkinshaw, corny lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walkinshaw, a corny lads forevermore. My genie, she is never near. My genie, she is never near. When I call out, where's me supper? She orders up another pint of beer. Biker Hill and Walkinshaw,
upon your lads forevermore. Mike Island walk ashore upon your lads forevermore. But Ginny, she sits out late up. But Ginny, she sits out late up. Ginny, she sits out late up between the pie pot and the cup. Mike Island walk ashore upon your lads forevermore. Mike Island walk ashore upon your lads forevermore. Hey Jeannie, come home to your little baby. Jeannie, come home to your little baby. Jeannie, come home to your little baby. With a pint of beer all up in your arm. Bike island, walk ashore, or call your lads forevermore. Bike island, walk ashore, or call your lads forevermore.
That's Dave Swarbrick on fiddle there with Martin Carthy, guitar and vocals, and that was recorded live at the Oxford Apollo for Martin Carthy's 60th birthday performance in 2001. I was there, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was.
Was it as good as it sounded?
You know, funny, you know what I was doing there was, I was sort of, when I went, I was there, actually, I was kind of talking to the listener. I felt I was talking to the listener.
Oh,
I kind
see.
Of forgot that you were here, and you thought I was talking to you.
How rude.
And you went, oh, were you? But then, you know, you're listening as well.
I am.
That's the confusing
thing.
Well, it was good. Although, what the problem was, it was a... And it, you know, folk's a very broad church, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that means you get something really amazing like that, but you also get the 2001 lineup of Fairport Convention, which is like a kind of pub rock band, kind of doing bad Dylan covers. So on the same four-hour evening contained some of the worst and best things I've ever seen. But it was nice to get all that out of the way in one evening, if you like.
It was nice to hear them when they shout at each other and talk to each other.
Well, they don't get on.
Let me play. No, it reminded me watching Lou Reed and John Cale when I think at Glastonbury.
Right.
And it was the whole of the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And it was a little bit. I think it was you said to me the reason it was odd is because they were a small room band.
Yeah.
They weren't a stadium band. But it was just there was talking going on during that, but usually in between the songs. And it was things like Lou Reed saying to John Cale as he picked up the violin saying, "You gonna tune it this time, John?" Is it in tune, isn't it? No, it's not. Is your guitar that's out? No, it's not. And they were just having these little spats.
Lou Reed's obviously horrible, though, isn't he?
Do you remember when they did that new song, The Velvet Underground?
Coyote.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's dreadful.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I saw them at Wembley Arena. I think I had the worst seat in Wembley Arena,
right.
Where you just actually couldn't see anything at all, and it was like
but
listening
that's
to a tumble dryer in an aircraft hangar.
It was Stuart said it to me, was that the reason it's not are what you expect, because they're supposed to play. They were famous for playing small rooms.
Yeah, with oil light projections on them. And
yeah, not things. Massive. Got like 8,000 seaters and 40,000 at Glastonbury. They're not a stadium band, are they?
No, but at least they're not here now, spoiling it for our memories by carrying on.
Yeah.
But it was nice. At the end of Wembley, I remember everyone kind of went mad, and it wasn't that the gig had been that good. It was just that
people were saying to each other, well, "I've seen the Velvet Underground." That's all. That's the only reason you went, really. I think.
Well done to them for having existed, but not now.
All those years ago.
Boothby.
Yes.
That was great. Thanks for coming in.
That's a pleasure.
I'm going to remind everyone about where this is. You can get this on the net, Boothby Graffo's What Italian,
for a specially reduced price.
For a specially reduced price at www.eva/uk.com or in some shops,
or even www.boothbygraffo.com
or boothbygraffo.com at your does that doesn't take you through to the Leicestershire village from which you took your name?
No, they haven't got
a website.
Yes, they have actually. The thing about Boothby Graffo, it's the second largest site for the testing of genetically modified food in Europe.
Is it?
Yeah. I saw a Guardian headline about 5 years ago that said the trouble with Boothby Graffo, and I thought, hey, I've made it and I'm in trouble. But no, they were talking about the genetically modified. There's a lot of protests going on there.
There's no, you don't get affecting you adversely in any way.
Well, no, just the extra arm.
You got any gigs coming up?
Do you know, I'm doing a CND rally next week in Sheffield or Leeds or something.
On which day?
I've no idea.
Okay, so next week you can see Boothby.
We can't say it might get nuked.
In either Sheffield or Leeds.
Or indeed anywhere.
Or indeed anywhere.
Anywhere.
On one of the days of next week.
Yeah, or indeed the week after.
Indeed the week after, at a different place.
I'm going to Belfast. Do they hear this in Belfast?
Yeah, they can do.
Can they?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I'm going to Belfast soon for an Amnesty International gig.
Right.
For Who Win Tin, who's still in.
Oh, right.
That was my poem, Who Win Tin Is. Yes. Thank you.
All right, good. So I don't know, is that the end of the poem?
Yes, that was it. Who Win Tin Is.
Okay, well,
you were in Edinburgh, weren't you? You didn't, just like an example of media. It made me laugh and cry,
right,
almost simultaneously.
Was what?
Well, I went down for a photo shoot for Amnesty International with Ed Byrne. You got time?
Yeah, go on.
Reasonably famous, Antonio Fortuny, a couple of other people. We did an Amnesty International photo shoot. We stood in front of a freedom sign and had our photograph taken to raise awareness about this guy's plight in jail in Burma, where he has been for 13 years. And there was one photographer. And then a bunch of students doing a play out there a week later, decided to see how many people they could fit into a telephone box. And there was every single paparazzi journalist from every paper. There was people from four different agencies. There was reporters from every newspaper. There was two television crews. And every radio station was there watching students utterly, obviously unable to get 13 people into a telephone box. Everybody knew they were never going to do it. But someone got quite badly hurt in the attempt. But as we were cramming them in, I was standing at the side saying, this is very similar to what it's like to where Who Win Tin Is in jail in Burma. This is what solitary confinement is like. His cell is about the size of this. And one of the television people came over and said, would you mind shutting up?
You know, I was talking to the woman who organises the Perrier Awards, Nika Burns, right, last year.
It's Nika.
Nika, all right. And Perrier is owned by Nestle, and Nestle are on the World Health Organization number one.
Sit on the right hand side of the death.
You know, evil companies. And in fact, I did a piece about them for the Sunday Times, and their CEO, chief executive, whatever, he said that he didn't feel he had a moral responsibility to consumers. Only to shareholders, right? That's an actual quote from him. And when I queried that with the press office, the best they could come up with was that, well, remember that he's Swiss and English isn't his first language, so he may not have understood what he's saying. But anyway, Nika, who runs the Perrier Awards, when I was saying you can understand why people are protesting, whatever, she said, people have got the other 11 months of the year to protest. Why can't they just have fun for a month? Well, it doesn't really work like that. You know? Anyway, we've got to stop. We've got to bring this to a close. Oh. We could stay here and talk all the way through the next show, which is Harry Hayward's Calling All Pensioners, but we can't do that because we've got to stop. Now, what I'm going to try and do is play two tracks up to the end. If it doesn't work, I'll fill it up with a jingle. That was you've been listening to 104.4 FM to One Way Single Parent Family Favourite. I'm Stuart Lee. I'm back in October. Pete Sargent's on next week. Anyway, last couple of things. This is from a reissue that's out now of the only album 28th Day made. It came out in about 1983. It's really great. We're going to play a track off that, and then a song from the singer Barbara Manning's first solo album from a couple of years later. Anyway, this is 28th Day, and it's called Page's Turn.
www.resonancefm.com or contact us in the studio on 0207 836 3664. Thank you.